It's glad to be back with you today. I thank Richard for filling in for me last week. He did a great job. Thank you, Richard, so much. And I came, I just wanted to hear him. It was well worth coming to listen to Richard. I thank the Lord that he's with our young people doing work there. I thank the Lord for that. He asked Sunday night that you mentor some children. If you're interested in that, or pray for them. Well, y'all get on board. Kind of, you know, you kind of put pressure on. Bobby, you put a lot of pressure on people. Where's she at? Can you imagine? Can you imagine sitting in your Sunday school class with your wife? Everybody comes in with big old bouquets of roses and gives them ones, but your wife. She's going to hit you over the head, man. That's pressure, Bobby. Now I got to buy my wife flowers. I thought about that. I said, man, that puts everybody to shame. Just, Teddy, you going to buy Cynthia something? You got to now. Richard, yeah, I advise you to. We don't put pressure on people here at church. But that's amazing the way she did that. So simple. And then she asked for one herself. Well, if you will, turn in your Bibles today to Matthew 6:33. Now, week before last, I preached on the decision to get your life right with God. Okay? That is the most important decision you can make, is getting into the kingdom of God. When Jesus Christ came, he came to seek and to save those that are lost. That's you and I. We're lost in sin, the Bible says, and we need a Savior. Jesus came to die on the cross that we might have life. He paid the price for us, and that is a decision you need to make today. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, then trust him as your Lord and Savior today. Here's another decision: to trust God with your life. Now, if you've been saved, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, look what it says in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 33. Look at it on the board. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see, life is made up of decisions. We make decisions every single day. When I was a kid, we had a pond down behind the house, and I played down there a lot. As a 6 to 7 year old child, I'd go down there and play, and I made little. You ever make little boats out of match cartons? The bottom. Somebody was a child too, and I take those. Of course, Daddy didn't like it much. You know, we take the big boxes of matches, pour them all out, and take the bottom of the box, and we would glue those sticks on there, make a little sail, and I'd take them down there to the pond. The penny boxes, the little bitty ones, well, they were little ships. That big one was my big ship, and I'd have all these things, and you know, you could go down there and play for hours in that water with those little boats. And the water flowed out of the pond on the left-hand side, and it flowed down the creek, and you could put them in there, and they would slowly but go over there. Well, the thing is, I'd get little pebbles and clay and things like that, and as they floated by, I was thumping them at them. And if you know that sometimes they would hit one, and maybe a ripple might turn it over or whatever. If I didn't get them all over, I had big rocks, you know, and we'd whoo, boom, and the waves would sink them. Well, if you don't have any money, you can find a lot to do to have a good time. And, you know, life is like that when we, sometimes the choices that we make, the decisions we make, cause little ripples that might affect our life. Amen? maybe just a little ripple. Every choice, every decision you make makes some ripple in the pond. But little decisions may not damage you too much. But if you make some decisions, life-changing decisions, they can cause a tidal wave in your life. Some people make huge decisions wrongly, and they literally wash out the foundation of their future. Now pay attention. You can make a mistake, if you call it a mistake, but you can make a choice to make the wrong decision, and it can literally ruin your life. You can make the right decision, and it can literally bless your life. Unfortunately, we've all made bad decisions, haven't we? And we've all experienced the folly or the waves of the wrong decision in our life. We've had to pay a lot of prices. But this morning, I'm interested in making the right kind of choice for my life, or the right kind of decision in my life that will change my life for the good. And I hope you will make that same kind of decision in your life. It's found in Matthew 6:33 there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That simply means we need to get on the right road to heaven. The Bible said last week, or week before last, we talked about the wide road that leads to destruction. The narrow road, that simply means a straight path that leads to eternal life. Well, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is to make a life-changing experience. When I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it turned me around and put me on a right road where it was a life-changing experience. I'll never be the same again. For when you're saved, really saved, when you ask Christ, He comes into your life and He makes you a new person in Christ. You're changed. You don't go to the places you used to go. You don't do the things you used to do. It changes your life. Now, I want to talk about, after you've made that decision to let God be Lord of your life, putting Him first in your life. Now, this, in my opinion, is another one of life's most changing decisions you'll ever make. Some of you have already made that decision. You're going to put God first in your life. And when you have, it's literally changed your life completely. But if I went to the church, or any church, the majority of people in that church, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is the decision that hasn't been made yet. Now you think about it. I'm not saying that you are a corrupt, vile kind of person. I'm simply saying that in most churches, the decision to put Christ first in their life and seek His righteousness has never been made in our lives. You see, the problem, we have a battle going on inside of our life. And the biggest battle that we fight is with me, mine, and I. What I want, my way, this is mine. And the Holy Spirit says, no, it's not your way. It has to be my way. You see, the Holy Spirit is constantly, once you're saved, He's constantly battling in your life to get you to follow Christ in Christ completely. Now, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want you to see some things in it. Three things I want you to see. One, if you read this Scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's a priority to guide us. Seek ye first. When I say priority, it's something that we set before. That's what the word means, priority, to set before. A priority in life assumes that there's other things in life that are important. I've got a lot of things in my life that are important. But a priority is something that's the most important, that I put before, that I set before all the other things in my life that are important. A priority sets itself before everything else because a priority is the most important thing in our life. Now, as a guide for our life, to put Christ first is what really shapes our lives. It shapes our lives. Here Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." In other words, we're to seek God's kingdom in our life. And when you seek God's kingdom, you seek God, everything else falls behind God, okay? He says, this is your priority, the kingdom of God. This is your priority, God. Put me first. Jesus says, that's what it is, to put God first. You're seeking God's kingdom in your life. That simply means, folks, that God is going to rule your life. God is going to reign in your life. He's going to be number one in your life. He is the King. The Bible says the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and everything else has to be subject to Him, you see. Putting Him first. It means that everything about our life wraps around the decision to follow Jesus Christ. And we look at that scripture, we see, well, one is our plans. Our plans. Jesus is to guide our plans. Over in James chapter 4, verse 13, you read in that passage of scripture, it'll be on the board in just a moment. James 14, verse 13, it simply says, go to now, ye say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain. These people in James are saying, you know, we're going to go here tomorrow, we're going to go there tomorrow, and we're going to use our plans. And James says, no, you don't know what tomorrow holds, he said. He says, life is like a vapor. It's there for a while and then it's gone. Now, they had a great ambition, didn't they? They had an ambition to make a lot of money. Jesus doesn't rebuke them making money. Jesus doesn't rebuke them for having ambition. He just says, no, tomorrow you may die. There's nothing wrong with plans. There's nothing wrong with some ambition in life. But you know what? Their problem was they were leaving God out of their life. And that is true of every one of us. Amen or oh me. Amen. Many of us, let me go back. Go back in your life. Let's go back as far as I can remember yesterday. No. High school. When you got out of high school, you started making plans, didn't you? What'd you think of when you got out of high school? Were you going to college? Do you have a college in mind you wanted to go to? These seniors, yeah, I like them when they come up on senior day or in the thing to ask them, you know, and they say, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I'm going to make a veterinarian, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a lawyer. You know, that's good. We all did that. We all did that, didn't we? Where we was going to go to school, man, who I'm going to marry? We said, man, when I get out of school, me and so-and-so, we're getting married and we're going to do this. That's all right. It's good to have a plan. We all had our plans. We had our desire that we wanted in life to choose our college, choose our career and all that, to marry the girl that we wanted to. But the problem is, we leave God out of that, don't we? Most of us did. Most of us left God completely out of that. We should have said, God, where do you want me to go to school? Who do you want me to marry? God, what do you want me to do in my life? You ever think of it that way? That's what God says here. Seek ye first. The priority is say, God, here's my life. I give it to you. Now, what do you want to do with it? You see, God wants you to be successful. I believe that with all my heart. God wants you to be ambitious. He wants you to go to school and get a good education. He wants you to marry a fine wife with an education, maybe, or whatever. He has a desire for you to grow up and have children and raise a family and have all of that. But he wants to be first in it. You see? Adults, we do the same thing. Man, I tell you what, when I retire, I'm going to do this, preacher. Did you ask God about that? Well, when I retire, I'm going to have to give up the church stuff. I'm going to start traveling. Sounds like us, don't it? But what are we doing? We're putting mine and myself and what I want to do. You got to tell you what, when you retire, you may die. A lot of people do. Put God in your plans. If God desires. Kind of like the old boy. I get tickled about it. I read a story about a little boy. He was going somewhere, and he started walking down the highway, and he come to a fork in the road. He said, now, which way do I want to go? Thought about a minute, said, I'm going to flip a coin. Comes down heads, I'll go to the right. Comes down tails, I'll go to the left. Flipped the coin. Sure enough, it landed on heads, so he went to the right. Came down to another fork in the road, and he said, well, flip a coin again. Heads, I'll go right. Tails, I'll go left. Sure enough, it was heads, he went right again. Went on there about quite a ways and come to another sign. It said, to the left, the ocean view. To the right, desert. Well, which way do I want to go? I'm going to flip the coin. Heads, let me flip that thing again. That's the way we do life, isn't it? God says, hey, I want you to do this with your life and go that direction. And you say, Lord, let me flip the coin again. That doesn't do what I wanted it to do. But let me tell you something. You have to seek first the kingdom of God. God says, you put me first in your life. And many a self-chosen path has led to heartaches, heartbreaks, disappointment, frustrations in life. Where if you follow God's path, it leads to joy and peace and happiness. I'll guarantee you. Well, you got to make a choice to guide God to guide you in life. Are you willing to do that this morning? You willing to say, Lord, here's my life. I'm going to let you guide me. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're already in retirement or what. God still ain't through with you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you, I believe, to some things you never thought possible in your life. You might be called to be a missionary at an older age. We're going to have here next year, I believe, a couple that we've met. They're going to come by and stay with us, and hopefully they'll just be able to get to, you know, they retired from their jobs. And they loved God and said, Lord, what do you want us to do in retirement? He said, I want you to be a missionary. So they went to a foreign country and they're missionaries. What? They're missing out on traveling. They're happy following God's will, doing what God wanted them to do. Oh, sell their house, sell their home, sell everything, and go do what God told you to do. I'd rather have Jesus. Silver or gold. You see, folks, that's what God says. Now, he may not be telling you to do that. I don't know, but if he does, if you're really seeking his will first, you'll say, okay, this is what God wants me to do. I saw this some time ago. At age 1 to 21, we do what somebody tells you. 21 through 25, we're doing what we have to do. And 65 and over, we're doing what we want to do. Well, doing what we want to do, I think, is probably characterized by the most people all the time in their life. You see, it's our plans, not God's plans. So make it a priority to let God guide you first in His plans for your life. Not only His plans, and this is where a lot of people get a little bit aggravated, our possessions. Our possessions. God said, I want to be first and guide your plans. I want to be first and guide your possessions. Now, the most sensitive spot in a church is when people are surrendering their possessions. I know. Some of you are thinking, well, he fixes to talk on tithing right now. No, I'm not going to talk on tithing. I'm going to wait a little bit to do that. I'm going to talk on possessions. He may be saying, you know, get rid of that big old house you got. Sell it. I got a mission for you. That's what Paul and Christina did. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? You see, that's seeking first the kingdom of God. Lord, whatever you want. We say, now, preacher, that's crazy. But yet when we read in the Bible, the rich young ruler, you know what the Bible says about the rich young ruler? He had everything. And he said, Lord, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, listen, young man, go and sell everything you own and give it to the poor and come follow me. And he said, no, I can't do that. Why? He hadn't surrendered his life. He hadn't surrendered his possession to God. He wasn't seeking first the kingdom of God. And you know what the Bible says? He went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful because he wasn't in the right spiritual condition. And folks, there's a lot of us saying, well, I don't blame him. I'm not giving up what I've got, inherited all these years, or made all these years. I worked hard for it, preacher, and I'm not about to get rid of it. Not even to be happy. I would. That's what it's going to take to be happy. I'd get rid of it all. Perhaps it's because of material comforts. The possessions bring is the reason we won't give God all of our heart. And folks, I'm not saying God wants you to just sell your home, sell everything you got, and go on a mission trip. But you need to be willing to do that if He calls you to do it. If God says, hey, you know, there's a missionary out there, Lottie Moon. They're out there. They've surrendered. They've given everything. Here I am. I'm sitting here with $20,000 in the bank, doing nothing but making interest. And God says, Booney, I want you to give that $20,000 to foreign missions. Oh, but God, I can't do that. That's way too much. You know, I might need that before I die. He'd probably say, no, you don't need it before you die. You're going to die tomorrow. If He tells you to give it, would you give it? You know, when I ask people to pray about what they're to give and give that much, a lot of them say, no, I ain't going to do that. I'll give $100. That's enough. Golly, if everybody gives $100, well, surely we'll reach our goal, but I'm not going to give over $100. Sad, isn't it? We will not let loose of our possessions. And that's probably the reason we don't have a revival breaking loose in our country and in our churches today, is because we're so tight-pocketed, see? We're willing to give God everything but our possessions. Because the question is, Who is the owner of you? Well, the Bible tells me I've been bought with a price. If I'm saved, God's bought me with a price. He's the owner, then, of this vessel. He's the owner of everything I got. Let me tell you something. You can't outgive God. That's the truth. You give that $20,000 or you give your life to go surrender overseas, you sell your home, you sell your car, you do what? You know, whatever God says, give it to somebody else. You've got too many. God says do it. You ought to do it. I'll tell you why. Because he'll turn around and bless you in your heart, and you'll be so rich. Woo! I've seen it happen time after time again, folks. Now, when I start preaching on possession, people get a little closed lips. They begin to squirm a little bit. Man, people begin to squirm and fume when a preacher preaches about money. And you know what? I've lost a lot of members because of that over the years. A lot of members have quit going to church because, well, all that preacher does is preach on tithing. But as you're aware, I'm still preaching it. And folks, the reason I preach it is I try to get you to understand that God doesn't need your money. He just wants you to be so free with it that if he says give it, that you'll give it. That's what he wants. And in return, he will bless you. That's the promise of God. Now, some of you understand that putting God first in your life means that you've got to have a real change in your life. You've got to have a priority for God to guide you in God's plans, and then a priority to God guide you in his possessions if you're going to give him your pocketbook. Now, let me say this, and then I'll move on. If I've made you mad this morning about tithing, it's because you probably don't do it anyhow. For those who tithe already understand what God wants to do in their heart. And to them, they're just saying, amen, praise God, I know it works. And it's not the amount of money you give. Let me say that. It's not the amount of money, it's the way in which you give it with a heart. Even if you know, I've always said the giving to grow is coming up, and giving to grow is a way in which we pay for these buildings above and beyond our tithe. And I always tell people in the giving to grow, maybe you can only give a quarter a week, or maybe, you know, I know some of you living off Social Security only make maybe $600 a month or maybe less since our government's taking much. But if you only give a quarter and that's a sacrifice to you, then you've made just the biggest commitment if I can give 20, you see. It's not the amount, it's the giving obediently to God's word according to how God has blessed you. And let me tell you something, when you make that sacrifice, if it's a quarter or a nickel or 50 cents or whatever it might be, God will bless you. Now I tell all young couples, I'm going to talk about young couples a minute. Serve God with your life. That's the best way in the world to keep your marriage together. That's the best way in the world to strengthen your marriage. Start out, both of you, going to God's house. You get yourself in church as a young married couple. You get with a crowd in church that loves the Lord, that teaches his word. And when problems arrive, and they will arrive in your life, then you'll have someone else you can turn to and listen to instead of the world out there. You get together in a church, you pray together, you read the Bible together, you grow together in church. And then when you start out your life together, you tithe off the top, whatever you make. You do that much. You give that to God, then you give yourself a tithe in your savings. Then you live off the rest. And I'll tell you what, you learn to live in that realm. And I tell you, giving to God, giving to yourself, and living off the rest, and God will bless you. He'll bless you, folks. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Word of God. For the Bible says, seek ye first. That's a priority right there. The kingdom of God. Now, let's look at our priorities. God's going to guide us in our plans and our possessions. I've got to move on. And our priorities. Putting God as a priority. Now, putting God as a priority doesn't mean other things are not important. Amen or oh me? I've got a family. I love my family. I've got a church. I love my church. I think it ought to be like this. God first, family, church. Okay, that's a priority. You need to spend time with those kids. You take them out fishing and hunting. Just don't do it on Sunday. Put God first. If you put God first, I don't have to worry about you going on Sunday because God's first, right? You know that. That just goes without speaking. God first, your family, take the boy to a ball game if you want to. You know, if you can live within that and afford it, you take him. Do something with him. Take him down to the riverbank and float boats with him, or take her and catch butterflies or whatever. You spend some time with those children and your wife. You know, those are priorities. Jobs. Jobs are important. Work is sanctified by God. The Bible says a man ought to work and provide for his family. But let me tell you something. Don't put it before God. I know some of you have to work on Sundays. That's all right. But you don't have to work every Sunday. And when you're not working every Sunday, you ought to be in God's house. Putting God first. If you're not working Wednesday night, you need to be in God's house. Putting God first. You see, he is that chief priority. Mary Kay Ash. Most of y'all know Mary Kay Cosmetics. She died in a... She made an interview with one company, big company, newspaper, book, whatever, article, magazine. She says, you know, I worked hard at overtime and long hours to make the money. But what is money if you have to count it by yourself? In other words, you better put your family first. Put God first. And then if you make that money, remember who blessed you with it. Give him that portion according to how he's blessed you. Now let me go and move on. That's the priority that can guide us. Let's see, a passion that will grip us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, there is a desire that we pursue godly. We need a godly passion. A godly passion for people. A godly passion for the lost. You know, it's just to honor God with our life. Doing what God wants us to do with our life. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul says, I want to know him. More than anything else, I want to know God and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and be made conformable unto his death. We ought to have that passion to serve God. It ought to grip our hearts. This week, I've just been praying, Lord, let me be a living sacrifice for you, a living example for you, that when I come to the end of my journey, I don't mess it up. That I leave behind a testimony. This man was faithful and true to God. That's what Paul says. I want to be made conformable unto his death. Then a great passion, a greater passion. In all you do, he says, seek God first in your life. I talked to a man not long back. He was a millionaire. He said, Booney, my goal in life was to be a millionaire. Now, nothing's wrong with being a millionaire. You know, I'm open to that possibility if the Lord wants to. But that shouldn't be my greatest passion. It shouldn't be my greatest desire. The greatest desire ought to motivate us to do even more for God, and that is to be right with God and put him first in his righteousness. See? Not only a priority to guide us and a priority to grip us, We need a passion that gladdens us. Look at verse 19 and 20, and I'll close. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust destroy, or where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Boy. Now, Jesus is talking about living for that which is last. Now, the secret to treasure is where? The heart. For where your heart is, there's your treasure. There's your treasure. My grandmother was the richest lady, I think, on earth. She loved Jesus. She loved Jesus more than silver or gold. And she would give everything she had to a poor person or someone that needed something that she could please Jesus. That's all she wanted in life, is to please Jesus. Oh, what an inheritance she had. Now, folks, you can lay up treasures here on earth, but they're not going to go with you. If you want to arrive in heaven with a house full of treasure, you have to send it on ahead. And you send it on ahead by seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why? Because God says, and all these things that He's talked about, all these things shall be added to you. Isn't that great? You want to be rich here on earth, then you have to put your treasure where God is. What are you investing today? What are you investing in God's church? What are you investing in God's work? We need to ask ourselves that. Jesus talks about in 30 and 31, food and clothing. He says, you know what? Look at it. Therefore, do not worry about what we shall eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. God says, I know what you need, but you ought not take no thought. That literally means don't worry about these things. We worry about them, don't we? We fret about them. Oh, what am I going to do this week? What am I going to, you know, where am I going to go this week? And He says, you need to seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things, and they shall be added to you. Now, in light of all of this that we've talked about, God's make it a priority for God to guide you, make it a passion for God to grip your heart, and a passion for God to gladden your life. What are you going to do about it this morning? What are you going to do about it? I can't make that decision for you. I've made mine. I'm going to seek God first. I'm going to be like old Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. What about you? We're going to have a young man here tonight. I'll tell you, he's from Turkey. He's a missionary over in Turkey. I think you will be extremely blessed if you will come. Listen to this young man. We're going to take a love offering for him. He didn't ask for anything. I always give a love offering for our missionaries that come, because they don't ask for it. That's just part of their ministry. But he's over there, and he's witnessing to the Muslims. And he's winning them for Christ. You come tonight, you listen to him. But you know, that's a decision you'll have to make. I'm not going to force you. I'm just asking you. You might be called to go back over there with him. Would you be open to that? What decision you need to make this morning? you need to make it. But let me tell you, put God first in your life, above your plans, above your possessions, above everything. And seek His will first, and He will bless you. Let us stand. We're going to have a verse 2 of invitation. If you need to come, would you come right now? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the message this morning. God, we ask that You open our hearts and let us see what we need to give You, to have that peace that passes all understanding. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.